Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. We are up to Perichov Beis, being Perichov Beis, the response of Eliphaz. Eliphaz is third reply, third presentation to Eliyahu. Okay, so we started off, yes, we gave a general Hakdama from Sukkim Aleph through Pasuk Hey, we're up to Pasuk Vav. And these first five Sukkim is where Eliphaz basically said to Eliyahu that, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such brazen chutzpah, to demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu explain to you why you are experiencing this suffering? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets nothing, there's no obligation whatsoever to explain to you why you suffer, and therefore don't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a brazen manner. And now he goes on to tell Eov, by the way, Eov, let's go back to our original approach to your suffering. The reason why you suffer is because you are an outright Rasha, evil man. Pasukei, he basically summarized, Pasukei pretty much summarized the entire parak. Halo ra'oscha rabba v'inkeitz la'avo yinoisecha. Your evil is great, and there's no end to your sins. And now, starting from Pasuk Vav, the end of the parak, he's going to enumerate a nice collection of sins that he accuses Eov of being guilty of. The first Pasuk Vav, ki sachbol achecha chinon. You have taken the pledges from your brethren for no reason whatsoever. Uvigdei arumim tafshit, you have stripped them naked. Now the first, two different sins. First sin is, a pledge is taken when a person fails to pay off a debt. A person borrows money, and the loan is due, and the person has not yet paid the money, so the creditor is very nervous. So he comes and he seizes assets. He puts a freeze on the person's assets. Now you're only entitled to do that. Maybe there are laws, regulations where a bank, where a creditor has the right to seize your assets. What's called a mashkein, or you take a pledge, but that's only when klag is that's in advance. But leisachbol almana, it says until you're not allowed to go take objects from your creditors as a guarantee that you'll be able to get your money back, especially when they need those objects. So here, Eov is being accused of taking pledges or taking assets, freezing other taking assets of other people for loans that they don't know, for chovos that have been fabricated, don't exist. Nonsense. You go and you make up a bilbil that I owe you money, and you come now and you take away my car, my house, my property, you seize my bank accounts. I don't owe you anything. What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of fabrication? That's a very extremely wicked thing to do. Uvigde arumim tafshit, and you strip people down to their nakedness. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David, Kisachbol im davar mi lemuloch. If a person speaks opposite you, if you have someone criticizes you, if you go online and you search the web for your name and you discover this person out there who has said something bad about you, what do? You have a lot of authority. Ta'anesh oso bekesef. You punish him with money. Batikach mimenu mashkoin. You seize a collateral. The im hu bechinam. And this is done for no reason whatsoever. Ki lo lova mimcha muma. He didn't borrow from you any money. But you don't care. You're doing this as a punishment for this person's bad attitude towards you. Uvigde arumim tavshid af min hanashim shenuchem ki malbush echad. People that only have one garment. They only have one shirt. The shirt of the back. You don't care. And if you'll take away their shirt, yelchu arum. They'll walk around naked. You don't care. Hine poshatita bigdehem. You've taken off the clothing. V'nishar arumim, and they walk around naked. V'karam arumim al shem soifam. They're called naked al shem. They're not yet naked. You're going to first take off their garment, but we'll call them naked al shem soifam. V'chein. Another example. Afisi al gecholav lechem. I will bake on the gecholav, on the coals lechem. It's not yet lechem. Why is the pasuk calling this object bread? Bread is only after when it's finished, and you're only at the process of putting the dough on the coals. So we're calling the lechem al shem ha'osid. Same. That's how the pasuk is being used here as well.
So what is this, how does this apply to what he has been doing?
Who does? We don't know the background. All we know is that Eliphaz is saying the fact that you're suffering is an indication that you're a wicked man, And what have you done? You've done everything. Let's go through all the possible sins you could have committed. And he's saying that this is one of the sins. These are at least two. These are the first two of the list. Maybe there are things that are, there are midrashim, there are things that are missing from us. It could be that there are some events that Eliphaz was aware of, and he says, let's review your life. Do an audit on all of your business transactions. I will show you that you have done illegal activities. Among them, these two things. These two things. That's what he can. More than that, I don't know. But he's making these claims against Eve. Seemingly, he must have had some proof that Eve was guilty of these crimes, at least from his perspective. Pasuk Zayin, Lo Mayim Oyev Tashke, you refuse to give the Oyev, the tired, water to drink. Umeiroev Timna Lochem, and from the hungry you deny food. If your charity, you're a very wealthy man, how come you haven't pledged millions of dollars to starving children throughout the world? A person from your level, of your wealth, should have done something like this. So he's claiming that you're guilty. Let's see, Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos, Lo Mayim, Lo Hishkisa Mayim Lo Oyef, you have not given water to the tired, or Manat Lechem Min HaRoev, you have denied food from the hungry, V'chi Kasher Chavashta Esmi B'Beis HaSurim, and when you capture a person, it's just like when a person is in prison, when a person in prison is denied food and water, and that tires a person down, and it makes him weak, it prevents him from having a desire to escape. This was the technique of the Nazis. This is well documented. The Nazis had plenty of food to feed the Jews. You look at all those pictures, those horrible pictures, the skeletons of the Jews in the concentration camps and labor camps. They were like skeletons. Why did they malnourish the Jews? They had enough food to feed them. We know that. It's because if you eat well, then you think about escaping, you think about rebelling. And when a person is hungry, I once heard a Holocaust survivor describe this news. His whole point was, people who do not live through the Holocaust have no understanding what it's like when you have nothing, when you're starved for a prolonged period of time, your mind shuts down. The only thing that you think about is food. You don't think about escaping, you don't think about your family, your life, your plans. The only thing you think about is for the person that lives in America, Baruch Hashem, and has parnas and has fed, and has what to eat. So once you're satisfied, Vayishman Yeshun Vayivot, you start thinking about the kavod and what kind of car are you going to get, and what are you going to, how are you going to enhance your dignity, your legacy in this world. That only comes after you have what to eat. So he's saying over here that you over here, he describes kasher chavash in prison. That's the technique. You deny a prisoner food not because you don't have what to feed him. You don't want him to start thinking about ideas of how to get out of here. Yeah, you wanted to say something? Okay, let's now go to pasuk ches. Next, okay, now we come to the next sin. The next sin, the ish zroya. Now this is a comparison. The ish. This is what, according to the Mitzvot, pasuk vav, pasuk zayin, are describing the poor, the people who are vulnerable, the people that are weak, that can be tormented. But the rich and famous, those people, you let them get away with whatever they wanted. The ish zroya. Lo haaretz, the powerful, mighty families who are thoroughly corrupt, and you, Eve, were in a position of authority, you were in government, or you were in some position of authority where you could have, if you wanted, taken them down, you could have ended their corruption. No! You decided, since they're powerful people, although they're corrupt, let them have the world. Lo haaretz, let them exist. I am not going to bother to get my hands dirty and take down these wicked people, these people of force. Ish suraya unisufon, the people that are favored. They lift up their face, meaning the world lifts up their face to them. The nisufanim, because they're celebrities. They're celebrities, and it's not popular. It's not popular to go and criticize the celebrities of the world, even though they're thoroughly corrupt. So to those people, you said, "Nu yeshev ba, Let them have their wealth. Let them enjoy life. I'm not going to start up with them. I'm only going to exploit, rob, and torture the meek, the feeble, the weak, because that's easy and no one's going to care less. Since those people have no honor, dignity in this world, I can get away by stealing all of their labor and their assets and in other words, if you're thoroughly corrupt, the rich and famous, you let them do what they want, and the poor, those people you take advantage of. Pasuk Ches in the Mitzudos. The Israya Koimer, what does this mean to say? It's not the Pasukim who do not flow well, Koimer. Hine, the Aniye Ha'om is going backwards. The Aniye Ha'om refers back to Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin. Concerning the poor people, his achzarta, you were cruel. The yosisa mishpat chorutz, and you have exercised corruption. A mishpat chorutz, a cutting judgment, in this context means corruption. Aval, but here in pasuk aches concerning mishahaya ilaim ubal zaraya, a person that's a warrior, a mighty person, and a powerful person. To him you granted the entire earth. You let him do whatever he wants. The you did not protest. Even though ki hoya lekel yodecha, lael yodecha, lael yodecha, you had power. You had, if you wanted to, you could have put an end to their corruption, but you chose not, because it's not the popular thing to do, to start up with the rich and famous, even though they are corrupt. Unesufanim, mi shahoyi nesufanim, a person who's favored, person to whom everyone stands up for because of their fame, bavur roif ha'oysher, their enormous wealth, uchadaymeh, who yoysher bukula, they sit throughout the entire world, no one bothers them, ki ilu haysa shalo, as if the world belongs to them, velo machis sabo, and you did not protest against these people. So this is very, very powerful, biting criticism of Eev. Eev, you're thoroughly corrupt. You took advantage of the poor and you favored the rich.
Sounds like a political debate.
Yeah.
Eliphaz was a Democrat.
Okay. If that's how you want to look at politics. Okay, Pasuk. Now, Pasuk test. Now, first is a short Rashi. Rashi says, "I think the Israel Haaretz." Rashi is a little bit different. The Ish Zeroya Aloy Haaretz Bitmiya V'chimachma Shohaisa Gadol Tirash Es Haaretz Klum Hu Roy Lehiskayim. Is it fitting? Is it fitting to Lehiskayim? So, seemingly, Rashi is saying, seemingly Rashi is learning very different than the Mitzudos. This is not, this Pasuk Ches is not to be understood in contrast or together with Pasuk Vav and Zayin. It's an independent statement. He's basically saying to Eev, who in the world do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Just because you're an Ish Zeraya in the past, just because in the past you had 70 good years of life, Lo Haaretz, does that entitle you to maintain your hold upon the earth forever? V'nesufanim, just because in the past you were a person that was a celebrity, Yeshev Ba, does that entitle you to Yeshev Ba, next words of Rashi, Yarech Ba, Kimo, Veseshu B'Kadesh, the Pasuk in Devarim, they dwelt in Kadesh, Klal Yisrael, they traveled, and they dwelt in Kadesh. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are just because in the past, Sheho Yiso Godol, that's even what Rashi is saying, that in the past you were great. If now you are corrupt, now you have done terrible averos, you're not entitled anymore to maintain your hold upon this earth. You deserve what you are getting, and you should be silent. Okay, this is seemingly how Rashi is different than the Mitzvah's Pasuk test. Now we continue to enumerate more sins of Eov. Almonos shilachta reikam uzraos yisamim yidu ka. widows you've sent away empty-handed, and the consequence was the arms of the orphans were crushed. Now, this is a very different way the Mitzvah learns this pasuk is something that you don't see anywhere in Chumash. We always assume there's two different categories of vulnerable people: an alman and a yosam. There's a widow. A widow has no one, especially in ancient times. There were no social services. A woman was vulnerable if she didn't have a husband to protect her. It was a sakana. It was a very great sakana for a woman to be alone without a husband. And so woman is vulnerable. That's one category. This is the list, the way I always assumed the whenever the Torah says that you should be good to an almana and a yasam, there's an almana, that's one category. And then there's another category called an orphan. An orphan doesn't have anyone paying his bills. An orphan doesn't have anyone rooting for him. Okay, what is the chasarn of an orphan? Number one, it's monetary. There's no one that's supporting him. Number two, there's no one that's encouraging him. No one cares about him. No matter a person is raised by taken care by another family, it's not the same. When you have a real parent, so they're two completely different categories. Isn't that the way you assumed?
No, but
okay, the orphan, an almana, a husband man dies, he leads over an alman, and he leads over Yisaimim. Okay, but we don't necessarily view the relate there to be a relation. If the almana is exploited, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Yisaimim are going to suffer. If Yisaimim suffer, it doesn't necessarily mean the Almana suffers. They're two separate categories, not necessarily related together. Here in this pasuk, the Mitzvah system is very powerful. It says they are directly related. And the way an Almana is treated has a very direct consequence upon the orphans. I mean, it's a true concept, obviously, but you don't... It's not this relationship in the Torah. We don't find it being expressed the same way it is expressed here in this pasuk. Look at this pasuk test. Pasuk test, almanos avul, kasher shamata. Dvar avla, me almanos, when you heard that an almana, when you heard how they treated an almana, lechasta lehen. You couldn't care less. You remained silent when they were crying. When something was done harmful to a woman, you were quiet. Ki gerashta oisam in aretz reikam. You participated in driving her out of the earth. Maybe she didn't pay the rent, and they evicted her. Ki od lakach to kol asher lohen. You've taken away everything that belongs to the almana. Lohen. Lohen is lashon nun, lashon nekeva to the almanos. Uvazeh. And what is the consequence? Nitke imkein chozek hayisaimim bindehen. Their children, the children of these widows, was crushed. Ki kasher gerashta imo sehen, when you drove away their mothers, lakachta kol asher lohen, el mi yifnu hayisaimim leezra, to whom will the orphans now turn when their mother, the Yisaimim, are relying upon their mothers, and when their mothers don't have what to support them, so to whom will the orphans turn? You do not have compassion upon the orphans either. So it's a ripple-down effect. When you are cruel to an almana, you are indirectly being cruel to the orphans as well. The two in this pasuk are directly related. There is a direct an effect, ripple down effect from one to the other.
Makes a point that I wanted to look up here if it's the same. It is Almanos is Mole and Yisomim is Chaseh, same as in the Chumash. So the Lamude Nisan makes a point of saying that, let's say a father goes missing, he's missing in action, so she can't get married, so she's an Almana without
Mole.
Almana.
Yeah.
Will forever be an
Alman.
God is going to do that.
Uh-huh.
Imane Saneo So.
But a Yosong.
And a Yosong, he can't be Yorid Lenich Seyoviv because his father's not dead. He can't. So he's in limbo. She's in limbo. So he'll be Yosomim Choser. He'll be missing his father's estate because he can't be a Yoresh. His father might still be alive.
And the Almana Mole.
She is like that, so he makes a point to saying it.
Why it's Mole and Chasan.
He says, and that's why the Kutzker Rebbe says that the only reason that's the pasuk in the Chumash where it says, Imanei Sanei Oso, Imtao Kitake Lehem, the whole pasuk is doubled.
Both the Alman and the Yosem.
If God will really, in other words, it's to stress the fact how badly He looks down on people who mistreat
okay.
Almanas and Yosem.
Yeah, I mean, that's the power of the positive.
She says it's not only Almana and Almanas there, right? But it's, these are the typical people who take advantage
right.
of
it. In other words, it's the same family. One, like you mentioned, it's the same. The widow, she's really not a widow yet, but she's in effect the widow. And the Yosomim, while they're not really Yosomim, will be Yosomim. He walked out or whatever happened. That's what the aftermath of mistreating is.
It's a very frightening pasuk. Kim tzak yitzak elai shma yeshma tzaka. So v'hoi b'neichem al v'hoi nesheichem al manos v'neichem yisaimim. It's midah k'neged midah. It's a very frightening. Very few times in the Torah actually tell you reward and punishment. One of the few places in the Torah where the Torah tells you that you watch out if you mistreat an almana, if you torture im ane sane, if you mistreat an almana or a yasam, the Torah directly says midah k'neged midah. There's going to be very severe punishment.
Famous story of Rabbi Hirschman, a fellow from Montreal. He was a rabbi. He was a rabbi of Montreal, so there was a shul there where, unfortunately, the rabbi passed away, and the board of directors was dealing with what kind of a pension plan they wanted. And one of the individuals on the board was giving a very hard time, and Rabbi Hirschman himself was defending and all that. So the board of guys says, "Why are you defending this situation? It was Hamona. What do you have to do with this someone?" He says, "I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about your own money."
Ooh. Wow.
Because if you're going to keep shepherding this almana, you're
going to get this. That's right. It's a very serious thing that people don't in this generation. Everyone says, "Oh, today there's social services, the pension, and there's a government," and therefore it's definitely not true. Almana is a very sad situation, and the Torah is very careful to severely warn us how to be careful to treat an almana and a yosam. I mentioned this before, that with the famous story with the Gra. The Gra, who was greater than the Gra? A goyim mi Vilna. And when the Gra's mother was very old and she was about to die, nearing death, she said to her son, the Vilna Gaon, "When I come to Shemayim, what should I say in my defense? What should I do to be zoche bedin?" So we would expect the Gra to say, "Don't worry, just tell him that you have a son. He's the Vilna Gaon." Right? Isn't that what we would say? Just that, "You know who I am. I'm the mother of the Vilna Gaon." And yet, the Gra is fasting. The Gra said to his mother, "Just tell them in Shemayim, I was an almana for so many years." It seems that the Gra's father died very young, and his mother was an almana for most of her life. "Just say in Shemayim, I was an almana." So his mother said, "Don't tell me. What should I say? If they're going to have complaints, this, that." The Gra said, "Just say to them, be quiet, I was an almana." And it's a fascinating idea to pay attention. How do I know the story? Because recently, Chaim Berlin, everyone knows Chaim Berlin, is the name on the building is Ben Zion Eliyahu Fruchthandler. So Ben Zion Eliyahu Fruchthandler died as a young, very young man. And he left over an almana. And his almana died a few months ago, about a month ago. And she was almost 100 years old. And so Avraham Fruchthandler, who was the president of Chaim Berlin, in his hesped, he said in his hesped, this word from the Gra, that the Gra said to his mother, "All you have to say in Shemayim is I was an almana." And he basically said that his mother was an almana. She raised children that had no father. And she was an almana for most of her life. And to connect to the pain that a woman and children have, not having a spouse and a father, is something which is not to be taken lightly. And here, Eliphaz is very harshly criticizing Eov by telling him, "You are guilty. You are guilty of almanos shilachta reikam." Very harsh words. Was Eov really guilty of such sins? Is there some information that we don't know about? Possibly. but he, or maybe indirectly in some microscopic, in some, you know, on his madrega, we had this yesterday, the Mitzudah Stav made this point, that by you, Eov, even a small, teeny little mistake is considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu a very great mistake. It's going to be super magnified, because you are a role model, you are a public figure, and everything that you do is being observed, and people are learning from your ways. Maybe there was a situation where an Alman was not treated the way she should have been treated, and you had an opportunity to make a macha, and you chose to be silent, and the consequences of that were that this woman suffered, and it was a trickle-down effect, that her children were damaged as well, the psychological effect of what has happened, and all that is because of you. If you would have come into the picture and made the macha, and done something, things would not have been the same. Therefore, you are accountable, you are responsible, and that's why you suffer. Pasik Yud, Al Kain, therefore, in punishment for everything that we have listed from starting Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes, all of these Pasukim, what are the consequences? Al Kain, therefore, Seviv Oisecha Pachim, you will be surrounded by traps. Wherever you go, you will be trapped. Vi Vahilcha Pachat Pisom, and you'll be terrified by a sudden, a pachat pisom, a sudden pachat. There's a pachat, and there's a pachat pisom, a sudden pachat. Let's take a look over here, Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos. What? Al-tira, I would say that after Aleinu. Right, after Aleinu, al-tira, tira, pachat pisom, mishras, risham, ki, savo, utzweitz, avisufar. So who do we dash? Now we dash that in reference to Amalek. Okay, the stimulus invitation refers to Amalek. Amalek is a pachat pisom. They come upon us without warning whatsoever. 9/11. Whoever expected 9/11? I was just talking to someone yesterday at length. I don't know why we got into this conversation about 9/11, where he was, his father, his mother, what happened. Horror stories opened up. That's probably why, subconsciously, because of the world was in the news. It's on the front page of the cover of the even the FJJ. It's on the front cover, the ambulance, the fire engine. So that's probably why. We were subconsciously affected by what's going on in the news. We were talking about it, and he was telling me some fascinating stories. But it's like altira mi pachat pisom. It's like out of the blue, unexpected. This person, he will come. He will be terrified by pachat pisom. He's telling Eev, you're going to suffer. This whole event that has come upon you, this suffering, you never expected. A year ago, you were sitting, you were surrounded by your family, by your 10 children, you're having a party. Who would ever imagine a year later you would be in such a matzav, you would lose all of your children and suffer to such a terrible degree, and on top of that be tortured by your friends who are complaining to you? It's a pachat pisom. All this has come as a punishment for the horrible sins that you've done, enumerated in the last few psukim. Pasik you. In punishment for all of your sins, you'll be surrounded by traps. And these traps will terrify you with a pachat pisom linpol bapach mecherda sapechad, to fall in the trap due to the intense fear. Pay Rashi.
Are these additional punishments to the sores and illnesses that he has now? Is that what the Eliphaz is telling him?
No, seemingly he's telling him that what you're experiencing, this experience, your entire experience is an experience, what he's calling a sudden pachat. A pachat pisum. I don't have clarity what it means. Mitzvah doesn't really say, it just says, v'tavolos pachat pisum, linfol b'pach mecherda sapach. It doesn't really translate it. A sudden fear. A sudden fear appears to be more intense. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't have clarity in the significance.
Because the reversals of fortune came upon him suddenly.
So does that really intensify the fear? Let's see the Malbim. Let's quickly look at the Malbim. Swiftly. Upon Rabbos Yahasaveros for Ain Kates, there's no end. Of holds the who ish Zeroya. No, he's going back. The Malbim is very complex. Okay, I'm not exactly sure. Okay, we'll leave it with that. We'll leave it with this expression. When we daven and we say in the lane, if you ever say that, no one ever, people, most people don't say it. You say it? But no one, you never hear a shot. You never heard the Baal Tefila conclude. The Baal Tefila does not conclude, but privately, Rabbi Pesach Kron, He's given 100 speeches about this, the Pachad Pisom.
Rebbetzin,
who invited him to come speak, and she was nifta, right, this Rebbetzin? Yeah, so it's one of his very famous speeches. Probably everyone here at some point in time heard of Pesach Kron give that drasha about 9/11. That was about 9/11.
Sure.
That was the Pachad Pisom when he gave, he repeated that story 100 times. And I'll tell you, nothing. He just says, he basically said, Altira mi Pachad Pisom means it's the appropriate pasuk to focus on after 9/11. That 9/11 was the event of Pachad Pisom. It was a pach which came upon us suddenly, and we have to have emuna, and the emuna is al tira mi pachat pesom. So he said, he gave this speech in a girls' school in Shevach, right? Shevach in Queens. There's a girls' school in Queens called Shevach, high school called Shevach. And the day after 9/11, the principal of Shevach invited him to come, asked him to come speak to the girls, to talk about 9/11. He said. I don't know what to say. I'm not a rav. I'm not a rabbi. I don't know. I really don't know what to say. So just said, just come and say. The girls are very distraught. You have to say something. So he came and he said over. He basically said over that everyone should mekabel upon themselves after Aleinu to say al tira mi pachat pisav u'mishoas rishoim ki savo, the holocaust of the wicked as they come, and that will be a. You focus on this pasuk, it's a very appropriate pasuk to be mechazik itself in emuna after this event. And then he said, surely thereafter, this woman, she was nifter, something terrible happened. So I don't remember the exact details. I'll just tell you an aside, a personal aside to this story. I heard him give this lecture, I don't know, it was many, many years ago. I was very moved. I was very moved by this, by his talk, and I started saying it. He gave this thing on, I heard him speak on Tisha B'Av. That's now it's coming back some of the memories. He gave this speech on Tisha B'Av, on one of these, you know, asifas for kinnis, and I was very moved, and I started saying it. I come out and said it the whole year. I still say it, not all the time, but most of the time. And okay, so I said it, and I learned about it, what Tzuk mean, and the different midrashim, Amolek, fine. A year later, exactly 1 year later, in Tarvadas, they have every year on Rosh Chodesh Av, approximately around that time, they always have big signs in Tarvadas. They have a kinnus. They have two speakers, Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Pesach Kron, and he got up. It was a year later, and he got up and he spoke, and he gave exactly the same speech. Everyone should say it. So after the speech, everyone was standing around. Okay, I'm not trying to brag here. I want to tell you what happened. Everyone was standing around him, and they came up to him, and he was a knockout. I mean, when he spoke there on Torah Vadas and the Beis Medrash, it was standing room only, and he gave it all he got, and he knocked everyone out with this speech. And I heard the speech already. So I went over to him, and I said to him, what did I say? I don't remember all the detail. I said to him something, and he was in front of everyone. I can only remember the details. I said to him, Rabbi Kron, I heard this speech already. I said something like that to him. So he was like a little bit embarrassed. I shouldn't have said it in front of everyone. Like, you're repeating yourself. But I said to him, I want to thank you because of you, for an entire year I'm saying these psukim. I was so inspired what you said. I'm saying these psukim a whole year. I don't remember exactly what I said. And it came out very well, and he smiled, and everyone standing around also, they broke out in, like, I don't know, in laughter, and he hugged me and he kissed me. So, it made a very big impression. Okay, Pachad Pisom. Pachad Pisom. I'm not trying to bring, I'm just trying to say that he's a very good speaker. That's all I want to say. Okay. No, he was happy. It seemed to me that he was pleased that his speech made an impact upon me, Ad Kedei Kach, that for a whole year I was still saying the Psukim after Aleinu. All right, all that ties in Viva Helcha Pachat Pisom. This over here is a punishment for the Rasha, to Eov, for his horrible sins. He will be overtaken, he will be terrified with Pachat Pisom. Pasik Yud Aleph. O Choshech Lo Sire Veshifas Mayim Tichaseko. Now the word O here does not mean or, it means and. In addition to you, Eov, being punished with Pachat Pisom and being surrounded by traps, you will not Choshech Lo Sire, you will not see darkness, and you will be, a flow of water will cover you. Now what does that mean? I forgot. Let's see Pasuk Yud Aleph. What, you will not see darkness? O choshech, o bo lecha choshech, asher lo sira es apache. What it means is that the dark, you'll see the pach. You'll be aware that you are surrounded by traps, but you won't be able to avoid them because there will be darkness. O bo lecha choshech, there will be darkness. Now you have to add in many words into the pasuk. Asher lo sira es apache. And therefore, you will not see, what's the sireh? Doesn't mean you're not going to see the darkness. O choshech, there will be darkness. Kama. Therefore, due to the darkness, lo sireh, you will not see. What will you not see? We need to go backwards to the previous pasuk and look at the context, the traps that have been set. Lishomer mimene, to guard yourself from falling into these traps. Next words of the pasuk, v'shifas mayim tichaseko, o marbis hamayim. Shifas means the flow, the abundance, the enormity of water. Kosu oscha will envelop you. You'll drown in water. Now, what does that mean exactly? It's not to be taken literally. The mitzvah says, v'rotzoloimar hinei bigmul, in punishment for your sins, huchan lucha michovim. Torture is prepared for you, ba'avur ha-pachad ha-shluach elecha, because of the pachad, the fear that's being sent upon you, nisbalbel datcha, due to the enormous pachad, your mind is no longer clear, to the point where you're unable to guard yourself from the traps that have been set for you. Lebal tuchali zoher, you're not able to be careful. O hamokom, or Hashem. Hamokom here means Hashem. Sichel datcha, he has made you foolish. Vehechshech sichlecha, has made your mind dark. Okay, so in this interpretation, it's saying choshech means that your mind is dark. Lebal teda, to the point where you're unable, li zoher, to be careful from o sharabim machoivim kamayim, or many forms of suffering have increased. Kamayim, like water, just like water comes in abundance in this world, likewise there's an abundance of pain and suffering that's directed your way. Heichin loch is prepared for you, at sheyeh min hanimnel hisham mehem, to the point where it's impossible for you to guard yourself from the flood of suffering that's about to come upon you. So mayim here does not mean literally water. Mayim is a metaphor. Just like when there's an abundance of water, a person cannot escape. When there's a flood that comes upon the world, a person gets wet. Likewise, there's going to be a shifas mayim of suffering that's coming upon you, that's going to envelop you, and you're not going to be able to escape. In addition to that, the end of the pasuk, there's going to be darkness. Darkness means that your mind will be confused, or there'll be actual real darkness where you'll not be able to detect and watch out for the traps that have been laid and set for you. That is how the Metsudos appears to learn the pasuk. Rashi, Achoshech lo sirek, kloimar, lo sitein einecha, your eyes will not give, uvit choncha b'koach lemar, I don't know what Rashi means. Klema lo sitein einecha, uvit choncha b'koach lemar.
I think it goes
on the next pasuk. Hello, Elokai. So, how does it read to the next pasuk? What does it mean then? It
means that Eov is going to say,
yeah.
He's up there on top of the clouds. He can't see what's going on here.
So, what does it mean? Ochoshach. That the pasuk says it very clear.
It's a comparison.
It says, Ocho, just like we're saying that the Choshech,
yeah,
so you cannot see whatever, all the traps that are set in front of you. So
okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I see what you're saying. Let's do the next two psukim, then we'll come back to this possible. It'll become clear. Okay, I see what you're saying. Let's just go ahead for one moment. Pasuk Beis. Hello, Eloka Gova Shemayim. Right, exactly. The next two psukim is what he's saying. Then now we start a series. Now we start a series of psukim where Eov, where Eliphaz explains, tries to personify Eov. I know your mind process. I know the reason why you do all of these averis because you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot possibly know what's going on. Even though there may be a creator, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far above this world, it's impossible for him to see what's happening in this world. Hello, Eve, what do you say? Eloka Gova Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in the highest heavens. And you, Eov, what do you see? Re'ei Rosh Kochavim Kiramu. You look at the stars, and you see the stars are so, so far away. When it's dark at night, and you look up, you can detect that the stars, the closest star that you can see, is way, way beyond our reach. And if this is just the tip of the heaven, we can only begin to imagine where Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina resides. It must reside billions and billions of miles away, way beyond what?
Light years, so you can't see.
So if we, from our perspective, we get a sense of how far the closest heaven is, the closest star is. And that's just the tip of the expanse of the world, of the galaxy. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far beyond, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too far to see what's going on in this world. And if Hashem does not see, therefore, there's no Hashkacha Pratis in this world. Let's pick Pasuk Yud Beis in the Mitzvot, because this is really what Rashi is going to say back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Haloi Eloka Ko'imer, he means to say, V'imamam Kolelo Sisa. What?
Nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, so your information can't.
So Karchu can't. He can't see what's going on. Exactly. If it's really true that you've done all of these averos, and you deny responsibility, you hold yourself not to be accountable for one very simple reason, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu can't, doesn't know what's going on. Loimar tzid kasi. Ainzos, and this, then you go and you deny the fact you've done all these terrible crimes, and you come forward and you say, I didn't do it, I'm a tzaddik. I'm a righteous person. You know why you do that? You know why you have the chutzpah to deny your crimes? Ainzos, kiyim, tachshayv, because you think, hallo, eloka, berum, hashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too far away, he's too distant. V'roye ata roish kichavim, you, Eve, can see the tip. The tip of the stars, utechilasam, asher ramu lamala. It's billions of miles away. The toimer, halo Hashem lamala mikulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above, is beyond that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that. There's no way in the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see what's taking place in this world. V'yeshem kein merchak rav b'min l'aretz. There's an enormous distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu where he resides and this world. And there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know what I'm doing. Therefore, I can get away with it. I can do anything that I want, and as long as I don't get caught, I can claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not see what's happening. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to your mind, is limited to man's abilities. And since man cannot travel that quickly, cannot see that far, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likewise cannot see, cannot travel that far. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no way of knowing what's going on in this world. Let's do the next pasuk. Yes, exactly, right, exactly. But he's explaining it in a different way. He's explaining a way that it's not even physically possible. It's not spiritually possible. Until now, we never had this idea. Until now, we had that maybe in Echonam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wanted to, he could be involved in Hashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Shemayim, and if Hashem wants, he can come and look down and see what's going on and pull all the strings. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to. Hashem, this world is not worth it. It's just not important. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone off to do other things. Here in these psukim, he's coming to say that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be involved in this world, he could not possibly do so. Because where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina? In Shemayim. And Shemayim, to get to this world, like you said, you have to travel the speed of light. How long does it take? It takes an enormous amount of time. And if we can't get there, so certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't get there either. Hashem does not know what's going on. Pasuk Yud Gimel V'Yamarta, what further do you say? Mayodakel. What possibly could HaKadosh Baruch Hu know about this world? HaBe'ad Arafel Yishpot? Can Hashem judge this world from the other side of darkness? Look into the sky. What do you see? You see darkness. There's a mechitza between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this world of darkness. Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually see through the darkness? If we can't see through the darkness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also can't see through the darkness. Pasuk Yud Gimel Yamarta, Uvavur Zeh, because of this, because there's an enormous difference, tell me what you say. Mayoda Kelly Master Adam Kaklaj Khalsa knew what's going on for the mankind. Halay Rev Amerchak, there's an enormous distance. Vihiderch Rafal Asher Sivivo Yishmot, can I call the Shbaruch who judge through the derech, through the way of the darkness which surrounds him? Can he judge? Mas Adam Uchoimer, he means to say, Vihiho Arafal Hamafsik, Yiya Od Sibo Lichayeda, that the Arafal, the darkness that's mafsik between us and Kaklaj Baruch Hu, is another cause, another impediment from a Kaklaj Baruch Hu having the ability to judge us. And to see what's going on in this world. Okay, Pasuk Yud Dal, the same exact idea. Ovim, Seser Lo, there are clouds that can seal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Yiren, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot see. In other words, continuing, there's Arafel, there's distance, and there are clouds that can seal HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Yiren, V'chuk Shamayim Yishaloch, and these clouds surround, circle the orbit of Shemayim. Let's see, get out of them, so it says, Lo, Halehe Avim Lo Lemistar, V'lo Yire Derech Ba, K'alo Yishalech Al Igol Shemayim. The clouds, this is a complicated passage, according to them, to this, the Chug, the circle, here refers to the Yahasalach, the clouds surround the entire circumference of the earth, and the clouds that surround the entire circumference of the earth act as a barrier. The atmosphere acts as a barrier for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see what's going on. Even satellites don't work when it's a cloudy day, right? Isn't that true? The satellites, they have new technology that can see the clouds? Maybe they do. What?
Infrared.
They can see what through the clouds, the new satellites. Okay, but at least at this point, and this is before the satellites. Yom Kippur, Hashem sits on. Chug, you have the same expression, the Chug Aretz, the circumference of the world. The circumference. V'lo yira derech ba k'ya lo yisalech al igol ha-shamayim v'im kein ha-evim yafsiku beino lebeino la-aretz. The clouds are mavil between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. So yeah, still over here, a whole number of expressions. Our whole number of expressions describe the interference between this world and Hashem's Shechina. To just go back, you have distance. Just look back at the different ideas that he's expressed. You have the Gova Shamayim, okay, the distance of heaven. That's one impediment. The next thing is something called Arafel. The third concept is clouds. So seemingly he has expressed three different levels of interference that prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from being aware of the happenings of this world. Distance, darkness, and clouds. Now, let's see the Rashi. Now we go back with the Rashi. Now, according to Rashi, now we understand Pasuk Yud Aleph. According to Rashi, it really is a lead into Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Aleph. So Pasuk Yud Aleph in Rashi was a Choshech Lo Sira, being that there is darkness and above, that's another expression of Arafel. Therefore, Lo Sira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot possibly see what's taking place on this world. Furthermore, V'shifas Mayim Tichaseka, according to Rashi, there are two more. Okay, according to Rashi, there are two more different impediments. There is Choshech, which seemingly is not the same as Arafel. Choshech is one form of darkness. Arafel seemingly is a darkness that has mamosh, a thicker darkness. And there's also water. Now, where is there water in Shemayim? All we know is Chazal. Chazal said, Bereishis, there was the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavdil, between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtoinim. That's why we make the mitzvah of Nichsach HaMayim, salt, in order to bring the Mayim back to an Inyan of Ruchni, to a spiritual degree, because the Mayim Tachtoinim was separate from the Mayim Elyonim. But scientifically, are we aware there's water in the upper heavens? I'm not sure there's such a thing. According to modern science, they have not yet discovered the Mayim Elyonim. Is that true? Are we aware? Anything? And we always talk about the water on Mars and on the moon, but I'm talking about in Shemayim. Is there any...
Where is Shemayim?
What?
It's after the galaxies, right?
So scientifically, is there any in modern science that acknowledges that there is water somewhere? out there, billions and trillions of miles away. They can't see so far. Okay, so we don't know it yet. But we have a tradition. We have a tradition, Maaseh Bereishis, that somewhere, if you keep on going higher and higher and higher, you're going to connect to water. And Eev here, and Eliphaz here is saying that I know what you're thinking, Eev. Eev, you're thinking, how can the Kadosh Baruch Hu know what's going on in this world? A Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is above this water. So this water is going to interfere. It's a hefsek between this world and the next world, with also the darkness. Okay, so that in time, let's go back to the Rashi's Ochoshech Lo Sire, Kolaymar, Lo Sitein Einecha. I don't know what that other word is. Uvit, your faith with koyach loymar, haloy aloka gova shemayim v'lo yashpil the rosh kadosh baruch Hu is in the highest points of heaven and cannot see what's going on. V'rei rosh kachavim ki ramu kamo v'ro einai shemesoyf ma'ane. I don't know chamishi koloymar v'noisein what. Ani, v'ro ani. I'm not sure. There's a pasuk. V'ro ani. You see my affliction. Shebesoif mane hachanishi, which will go in the end of the fifth response. Going back, we had the same idea. This expression was expressed there. Kolaymar v'noisein ato ayin b'roish kachavim kiramu uveshvil kach amarta. You have put your eyes at the tip of the heavens, at the tip of the stars, and you see the great, great distance. Similarly, same idea as with Sudos, that you have, that you look and you see this enormous distance from where you stand and the tip of the heaven, the first stars. And if that, and that's just the beginning of the heavens, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's on the other side, cannot see what's going on in this world. Mayod Akel, the Maaseh HaChoshech, Hashem does not know what's happening in the mice of darkness. Haba'ad HaRofel Yishpot, HaKeneget HaChoshech HaZeh, Yireh V'Yishpot, Heina, can it pass Yishpot? Hinei avim seser, there are clouds which conceal lufanov. V'lo yuchal liros, and he cannot see. V'chug shmam yisalach, v'lo yada es asher ba'aretz. What is the word chug? Chug means an ugol, it means a circle. Mechugas hashamayim, the circuit of the heavens. Kamo uvim mechuguga yis oharu. And Yeshaya, there also means something to do with a circle, with a circle. So here, the basic yisod of Rashi and the Mitzvah seems to be the same, at least in these psukim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot possibly see what's taking place in this world because of the enormous distance between him and us. And that's why Eev has the chutzpah to say, I can do what I want, and I can get away with it, because Kadosh Baruch Hu does not know what's happening in this world. Now let's do that. Now Tepasik Tezvav leads into a new theme. Ha orach olam tishmar. By the way, this l'chor is a raya that the ancients knew that the world was round. Okay, there's a much debate about this. The fact that it says the chuk shamayim, the circuit, a circle, seemingly means it's very clear to Eov, Moshe Rabbeinu, Eov, that the world is round. I mean, how else are you going to explain it? No.
It could be the galaxy.
The galaxy, there is... but that's just an idea.
They see orbits, but that doesn't...
mean the world is perfect. They believe that the whole world...
The
you fall off, you see the sun goes like this, and then what happens at the ends? Okay, all right, it's not a complete proof, but it's something, there is something there. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Tezvav. As a Hakdam to Pasuk Tezvav, we have to remember... the last two prakim. The last two prakim, there was the debate between Soifar and Eiv. Soifar, according to Rashi, was presenting to Eiv the door of Sodom. Eiv responded by describing the door of the Mabel. Here Eliphaz, who was listening to this conversation, is picking up on what Eiv said. Eiv, you like to discuss the generation of the Mabel? So let's indeed focus on the Dor HaMabel. And he says, Ha'orach Olam Tishmor, Asher Dorchu Misei Oven. You, Eiv, have guarded... Eov, you have decided to guard, to connect yourself with the ways of the Dor HaMabel. according to this is how the Mitzudas and Rashi are going. The Mitzudas is going to be very elaborate. The Mitzudas is going to depart from his normal simple way of Peshat. He's going to touch upon many Midrashim and describe Noach and his generation. And this Pasuk is the introduction. Let's see Pasuk Tezvav. Ha'orach. Ha'im tishmar bilibcha haderech asher tobo kol b'nei olam. Are you, Eov, going to take hold? You're a wicked man. You've committed the worst crimes. Your crimes are on par with the crimes that were committed by the Dor Hamabel. Ki hishchis kol basar estarkai al haaretz. Are you going to continue to maintain, to tishmar, to guard their ways and emulate their ways? One more time, tishmar b'libcha haderech asher tov bo kol b'nei olam v'chazar perish asher doruchu bo, who have tread, and she'oven, the people who are sinners, who are the people who are referring to. So here the Mitzudos adds in this very powerful idea, heim anshe dor hamabul. Now the word misewi, as we said many times, this word is very popular, very common in Sefer Eov. Misei means people. Okay. Misei means people, and we discussed the idea, the word misei means a mister, a person, as we have often, we have occasionally in the beginning of the Torah, misu shalach, misu shoel.
Monsieur.
What?
Monsieur.
Mr. Okay, Monsieur. Yes. What is that, French?
Yes, then the T is.
It means Mr. So Misei means people who are evil. So the Pasuk again in its entirety reads, Ha'orach Olam Tishma Eov, are you going to continue to follow in the ways of the world? The Olam here refers to the evil people of the world. Are you going to guard? Are you going to preserve their way of life? Who am I referring to? I'm referring to the people, who's repeating himself, Asher Dorchu, who have tread upon this world, the Misei Oven, the people who are evil. What have these evil people done? Pasuk Tes V'Zayin, Asher Kumitu Velo Ace, the generation that has folded up prematurely, Nohar, a river, Yitzhak, was poured upon Yisodam, their foundation. This is a very poetic way of describing the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul, people of the Dor HaMabul died prematurely. The word kumtu means wrinkles. When a person gets old, his flesh, his skin on his face, wrinkles. So their skin has wrinkled prematurely. They've aged prematurely. Now it doesn't here mean literally they've aged prematurely, it means that they died prematurely. What comes upon a person when their skin wrinkles has come upon these people prematurely, because they were wicked. Who am I referring to? I'm referring to the people upon whom a river, which river? The Mabul. The Mabul is described here as a river that was poured down upon their foundation, the foundation of the earth. Let's take a look at Pasuk Tezayin in the Mitzudos, Asher Kumtu, Asher Bavur Zedu, to their horrible sins, Hizkinu. Kumtu means to fold, it means, but it's a borrowed term, it means they became old, Umalu Kimatim, and their skin was filled with wrinkles, below itam, prematurely. Ratzalaymar, nichrisu min ha'olam. They were cut off from the world, koidem zamanam, before their time. Ki nor me'amabul nishbach b'yisodam, the rivers of the me'amabul was put upon their foundation. Ratzalaymar, ba'oretz asher amdu alecha, they were wiped out from the face of this earth. Okay, pasuk tezayin and tezom tezayin Rashi, ha'orach olam haderech harishanim asher me'os, the way of the world, referring to your ancestors. Tishmar, Shamarta Bilibcha, Liskar Man Hiyasa Bahem, you have guarded to remember what has happened to them. Come to Vloyes, Migzuru Bilabulitam, they were cut off before their time. Nohar Unahar Shal Mabul O Gophris, this refers to a river of the Mabul, or Gophris Voesh Shal Stom Hutzak Vi Sodom, or sulfur and fire was poured out upon the people of Stom. So Rashi here is saying something different than the Mitzvahs. Rashi says this Pasuk also alludes to the generation of Sodom. Sodom Vamora, there was also poured upon them punishment in the form of sulfur Voesh, and here he is.
This play on the words.
Sodom, very good. Okay, I know that. Very good. Sodom hutzak be Sodom upon their foundation, and therefore he's warning Eve over here. What's going to happen to you is going to what happened to them is going to happen to you. You want to follow in their ways, so you'll get the same punishment that these people have received. Okay, we'll stop here.